of a girl like that?
Blood
no,
radio.
No, right? Never. I do have a bad habit of staring at women when they're with guys, though.
Sure. Well, who doesn't?
I try not. I think it's disrespectful when I do it, and I feel bad, and I try to stop doing it like right away.
It's usually disrespectful I do because Lisa's usually with me.
Yeah. I'll be at the gym and I just stare at girls. I just look at them like,
"What they're there for?" You know what I'm saying? What are you gonna do?
You know,
you're a sexist pig, beep. I tell you that.
I know. I have a lot of problems.
You got a lot of problems. All right, you ready?
Yes, sir.
Broadcasting from Cincinnati,
you're listening to the Ringside Reporter Podcast. All the news from the world of boxing right here.
Well, I'm talking to you the way I want to talk to you.
Now, here's your host, Eric Lorda.
And we are live. Welcome to the Ringside Reporter Show, where we talk about the latest boxing news. If it's related to boxing, we'll talk about it here. My name is Eric Lorta, and I'm here with my co-host, Joe Habib. We have a great show for you today, and if you want to call in, 323-870-3857, and we'll be here for till about 8, 8:30. Listen, we'll be here till we leave. Beeb, am I right about that?
Be here as long as we want to be here. That's what it is, baby.
That's what we do. That's what we do. We'll be here till the cows come home, Jack. That's where we're at now. Tonight, we're going to talk about... This should be a national holiday in the world of boxing. Super Saturday is next week. It's the biggest weekend of the year so far. And we got all the details. I mean, just a truckload of fights. We were talking before we came on how on earth we're going to be able to watch all these fights. It's insane. And tonight we're being brought to you by the movie Nobody, starring Bob Odenkirk. And tonight we'll have digital codes to give away so you can watch the movie at home. Stay tuned, and we'll tell you how to get them. But first, we're going to get started with the weekend action, ESPN, Shakur Stevenson versus Jeremiah Nakatila. I think I got that right. Stevenson
Perfect.
Wins a unanimous decision by 120 to 107 on all three cards. So some good news and some bad news, okay? So the good news was... It was a complete whitewash for Shakur. He looked good. He should have looked good against this guy. This guy posed no real danger. I didn't think he posed any real danger to Stevenson at all during the fight. They said he had a big right hand, which he tried to throw a couple times, missed him. I'll be honest, though. I don't know about the CompuBox stats where he's landed one shot on Shakur a round and sometimes not, you know, zero shots and everything like that. I don't know if I buy into the CompuBox stats that they're doing. I think I'm not saying they're gimmicked or anything like that. I'm just saying that I think, you know, I could find a way, you know, he's landing more shots than you think he's landing. You know what I mean? Maybe I'm wrong. Nakatila, that is. Maybe I'm wrong, but you know, hey, whatever, you know. Now, as far as Shakur Stevenson's performance, it was kind of lackluster, to be honest with you. He had this guy, and all three broadcasters said the same thing. He had this guy. He never really had him hurt. But my thing with Shakur Stevenson, and I've noticed this in a lot of his fights, he doesn't want to get hit. I get it, and I understand that. But this is boxing, and sometimes in order to hurt the other guy, you have to put yourself in that position to get hit back. And he doesn't do that. He doesn't want to get hit ever, ever. And great, you know, and great, he'll be fine and everything like that. But the thing is, he's not very exciting to watch. Would you like to see Shakur Stevenson fight anybody else with this style? I don't want to see him fight anybody with this style.
Well,
this is not a money-making style.
My whole thinking is this. If he fights a guy like Oscar Valdez or Jamal Herring, they're not going to allow him to just sit back like that. They're going to force him to fight. And if he doesn't fight when they're trying to force him to fight, that it's going to be at his own peril. He's either going to have to stand up and fight, try to fight them off when they keep coming at him, or he's going to get eaten up. So when you have a guy like Nakatila who is so hesitant to throw his punches because he's so concerned about the speed of Shakur, because every time Shakur would make a move, whether it be a feint or even step forward with something, he was always, Nakatila was always flinching. Now, there's a difference between being defensively responsible and being overly cautious. You're showing a guy too much respect when he hasn't done anything to earn your respect, meaning he's not landing punches on you, and you're so much quicker than the guy. And as soon as you're throwing a punch and you make contact, you're already pulling out. You're just playing a game of tag, basically. So my whole thing is this. If you, and I said this several times, there's some, no one likes to get hit. We already know that. But some fighters are too overly concerned about it, and that's how they become too cautious in a fight, right? But 6 rounds, 7 rounds, 8 rounds go by, and this guy's not really landing anything on you, and you're seeing everything coming. He's telegraphing everything. Then it becomes basically a confidence thing. Like, do you believe in yourself? Do you believe that if maybe you do get hit with something, that you'll be able to withstand it? It becomes a mental thing where the guy, you're saying to yourself, is Shakur Stevenson second-guessing himself in there? Does he believe in himself? Can he flip the switch and go into fight mode? No one's telling you to give up your chin and be reckless. But, he's probably saying to himself, I could do this, and there's 100% chance I'm going to win. If I'm a little bit more aggressive and I become a little bit more offensive-minded, if I start to step in with the shots and throw combinations, maybe that 100% goes down to 97% or 95%. That's still a pretty good calculated risk, right? It all comes down to, I think, mentality. You know, if you're thinking about getting hurt too much, then you're going to always be hesitant. You're always going to be overly cautious. What's going to happen when you're forced to have to deal with adversity against a guy like Valdez who has faced adversity, against a guy like Herring who has faced adversity, right? When these guys step on the gas and put your feet to the fire, how are you going to react? Because you're reacting overly cautious without the adversity being there. What's going to happen when the adversity is there? Will you fold? Everyone's saying he's so much more talented than these other guys. I'm going to be honest with you. I pick both of them to beat him. I just do.
I think he's got a lot of talent. I really do. And I think he's fast, and I think he's hard to hit. And you're not going to beat him with that style. You know what I mean? But he may not win all of them with that style. If they could just pressure him all night and he's not throwing anything back, he's just moving, he's going to lose those fights.
You can't even make the argument that he's just fighting that way based off of who he's fighting, because he fights that way since he's turned pro. He's always fought that way. So you get a big, tall guy like Herring, right, who's long. He's got a piercing jab, right? And he can fight a little bit on the inside. And there's not a rip those. He can shorten the shots up on the inside and really dig to the body and really shorten up the hooks and stuff. How's he going to deal with that? The big, strong, lanky Herring. How's he going to deal with a guy like Valdez, who is relentless with pressure? He's constantly moving his head, dipping and ducking and coming over the top with power shots, rolling shots, and then snapping right back with counter. Valdez is a phenomenal counterpuncher, right? I mean, he's good at timing guys, right? So he's coming forward, rolling shots, and coming back with his own. How's he going to deal with these guys once they apply pressure to him? Because they're not going to fold. See, you're not going to stop somebody with a little flick jab like that, with these little flicky punches. He's got to get people's respect. And he's not going to be able to win fighting those guys like he fought Nakatila.
This is
He won't fight that way. Well, he's always fought. He hasn't shown us any evidence that he's going to fight a different way.
Yeah,
thus far.
He's young, so he can kind of be maybe taken out of that. A couple of things here, like the Devin Haney, he reminds me a lot of Devin Haney in the sense that he does not want to get hit.
Both of them.
You're in the wrong business, guys. You're going to get hit. And you could be a superstar. You know, he was comparing himself. I don't know if you watched the broadcast and everything like that, but he was comparing himself to Floyd in the first 15 fights.
There's no way he's even close to that.
You know? So, look, I mean, and I get that you have the same record. You know, it's 15-0. I get it. Floyd had fought a number, but Floyd was knocking people out. And Floyd wasn't, he was like, well, I'm getting hit less than Floyd. That doesn't mean anything. That means next to nothing, man. I mean, really?
Doesn't strength of schedule mean anything anymore? When people rally off these statistics, right? When they were trying to say that Sil Lomachenko had a higher power punch connect percentage than Roberto Duran. Do they realize how many fights Roberto Duran had? Do they realize how many weight classes Roberto Duran fought in? Do they realize he fought as high as 175 pounds and the guy's only like 5'7"? Right?
I mean, really. I mean, like, come on, man. It's, you know, you're trying to compare yourself to somebody because you have the same record as them. Look at the opposition he fought. Look at the opposition you fought. Look at his knockout percentage. Look at your knockout percentage. There's
not even close,
big
bro.
Difference.
And everyone thinks I'm a Floyd hater because I make comments about dumb things that he says and does, but I never take anything away from his boxing career. Not at all.
Right. I mean, that's the thing, man. It's like I don't understand why. I don't understand what this new crop of fighters, they don't want to get hit. And hey, listen, it's not fun to get hit. Not fun to get hit in the face. Not fun to get hit in the body. But the bottom line is it's a fight, you know, and they're fighting, you know, they're not fighting the best opposition out there. Devin Haney is not fighting the best opposition out there. Shakur Stevenson is not fighting the best opposition out there. What are you going to do when they step in against somebody, you know, who can get this done? Kevin from Chicago said the phone lines aren't working. I got guys on the line right now, Kevin.
And here's another thing, too, Eric, because when people want to talk about great defensive fighters, right?
Uh-huh.
And we talk about there's different ways to be defensive, right? You could sit in the pocket, and you can roll, and you can catch and shoot. You can use upper body movement. You can dip, duck, slip, slide away from shots. These guys like Haney and these guys and Shakur Stevenson, their defensive tactics are all just by getting out of range.
Right.
You can stay in range and make people miss, and you can counter. You have guys like Haney and you have guys like Stevenson, and even Amir Khan was another one who basically their defense was their legs. And once the legs go, you got to be able to stand in the pocket, and you got to be able to make people miss at close range.
Right.
Because when you're always taking your body, you're taking yourself out of the pocket, then you're strictly in defensive mode. You want to be able to be in a position where you can defend, but be right there to transition right back into your offense. And that way you have that surprise element to your offense. It gives you another wrinkle. Because if you're always going out and resetting, eventually, people are going to pick up on the fact that, hey, this guy don't want to stay in the pocket with me, so guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to smother this dude. I'm going to trap him up against the ropes, trap him in a corner. He can't fight on – I don't think Shakur Stevenson can fight a lick on the inside. He hasn't shown me any evidence that he could,
right,
that he can. Neither is Devin Haney. And you have to be able to have some type of game on the inside because you're going to run out of space. You're not always going to be able to get out of harm's way. Your legs aren't always going to be the answer. So you got to come up with different ways of defending yourself. And you want to be able to defend yourself in the mid-range, up close. And you want to be able to use your legs on the outside because you want to be a well-rounded fighter. You want to be versatile. Now, Muhammad Ali wasn't a great inside fighter, but he knew how to wrap you up. He knew how to put his weight on you, pull your head down. He knew how to make you uncomfortable when you got inside on him, where he constantly would do things to disrupt you and your rhythm. And you could see Joe Frazier a lot of times. He would pull his head down, knock him off balance, and he couldn't throw the punches all the time that he wanted to throw. He couldn't flow with his combinations on the inside. You got to figure out a way to disrupt somebody when they're up in your chest like that. And these guys have not mastered that or even attempted to try to learn to do something like that.
No, and I mean, I think that's where I come in on it. It's like, you know, you're not fighting top-level opposition right now. He's not. I mean, he won a Friends WBO title last night or this weekend or whatever. You know, listen, man, I mean, you've got to step it up here. I mean, nobody is going to want to watch this. Nobody wants to watch it now. You know what I mean? Nobody wants to watch it now.
When you say Shakur Stevenson's talented, not you per se, anyone, he's got phenomenal defensive reflexes.
Yes.
His reflexes are impeccable, right?
You've got really a guy good here. Yeah, you got a guy here you can put together. He can be a huge star, but not the way
quick
he's
hands,
fighting now.
Quick hands, quick feet. Great. But there's a lot of intangibles missing. He's not sitting down on shots. He's not stepping in with anything.
Nothing. He doesn't throw combinations.
Doesn't throw combinations.
Doesn't throw them. One and done. And he's out.
Very rarely throws body shots. And even that right hook that he knocked him down with, he didn't even turn it over. It was a slap. It's like he's like this. Boom, and he's like touch, boom. Like he's punching and he's leaning away from the guy as he's punching.
Yeah.
And I'm not trying to be overly critical here. I'm not insulting him. I'm giving my opinion. Babe, you hate it. No, I'm giving my opinion.
Why are you always hating on Shakur, man? What's the matter with you? What are you hating on him? Him and Haney.
I'm a lover, bro. I'm a lover.
Hating on him, man.
I'm not a hater. I'm a lover. I love the human race.
You're just hating on him, man.
I got a lot of love in my heart, baby. My name, Habib, in Arabic means love. How can I be a hater? My name means love.
I don't believe that that's accurate.
That's a misnomer.
The misnomer? That your name means love?
That's a paradox. My name means love and you're calling me a hater. That's a paradox.
Oh, my God.
I can't be a hater.
My
name means love in Arabic. I can't be a hater. Look it up. Look Habib up.
Probably means like sushi in Arabic or something like that.
False.
False.
Google it. You're right in your face. Love.
A big heart comes up, you know.
Yeah, you Google it, man. You see freaking nice hearts and sunshine and rainbows and shit.
Deep stays hating. Yeah, I don't know, man. I, you know, as far as Shakur goes, you know, the thing is, he has power because he's got speed. You know he's got power, but he doesn't. He wants to be out of there before that shot even lands. He's thinking about getting out of there before that shot even lands.
He's playing tag, you're it, bro. He's playing tag, you're it.
That's all he's doing. That's all he's doing, you know.
I'm sorry to say it. I'm not happy about
for an up and coming guy. Let me tell you what, for an up and coming guy, for him not to have more knockouts than he has.
And you know what And I used to say in the beginning, maybe he's just trying to get acclimated to the pro style. Maybe he'll work his way through this, but he hasn't. How many fights does he have now? Like 20?
No, he's like 15 and 0 or something like that. 16,
he's still 15 and 0? I thought he had like 20 fights. Okay, 15 and
0.
Yeah, you're right. He doesn't have any fights.
You know, but that, you know, like I said, man, I think he needs a trainer switch. He really does. I don't know, you know, who he's working with or whatever, but I think he needs a sports switch.
He needs a sports psychologist like Kyle Frotch got.
I mean,
remember Kyle Frotch got the sports psychologist? He needs a sports psychologist.
Who, Garcia, how good would this guy be under Robert Garcia? Is that a good match? Because
Garcia is a great trainer, man.
But
like
Garcia is very defensive. You know, he's very defensive and responsible, too. You know?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know, man.
Emmanuel Stewart would be going crazy with this kid right now. He'd be in the corner like, throw some fucking punches.
Yeah, he could. There's no way he would last with Emmanuel Stewart. That's a bad
Yeah, he couldn't last with – that's my favorite trainer of all time.
I love Manny Stewart, man.
The funniest thing he did when he was like – it was Vladimir Klitschko was fighting Eddie Chambers, and it's like going into the club, and he goes, all right, I told you this was going to happen. I told you this guy was going to try and stick out the joint against you. You gotta throw some fucking punches here. We can't go through another one of these bullshit decisions. You gotta get him out of there. You gotta get him out of there. He's like, I'm trying, Emmanuel. You gotta get him out of there.
My favorite Stewart moment was the Lennox Lewis fight when he's like pleading with Lennox Lewis. He's like, you know, you got a dead man in front of you. You're just gonna, you're gonna get hit with some crazy stuff, and he's gonna knock you out. He said, get out there and finish him. You know. Oh, he was great, man.
He was the fucking best.
You remember him with Jermaine Taylor? Oh, yeah. Oh, he couldn't stand it, man. He gets hit, and he goes back to doing whatever he wants to do.
Corey Spinks. I told you this guy. I told you this was a fight that was going to be. I told you the fight was going to be like this. You didn't really. I mean, I told you this. I told you this guy wasn't going to do anything. I told you this. He was going to try to friggin' stink the joint out. It was hilarious. That was so funny.
All right, let's talk about Jose Pedraza. He was on the undercard against Julian Rodriguez. Pedraza stops Rodriguez in 8. Decent fight. It was a decent fight. I tell you what, man, I was surprised that Pedraza was kind of the stepping stone in this fight, I believe. Young gun coming in there undefeated. And
guess who picked Pedraza to win?
He took him to school. You did?
No.
Chacal?
I said he could win. I wasn't sure about it.
Chacal
told me, he goes, Pedraza's going to win.
We got to start a gambling show, man, because Chacal is like
great
money, man.
It was a great pick. It was a great pick.
Yeah.
I was on the fence. I didn't know who to take. I really didn't know who to take in this one.
Yeah, he was.
I didn't know that much about the other kid, but I was saying to myself, maybe they're using Pedraza, like you said, as a stepping stone.
Yeah. I tell you what, Pedraza did really well in here. He just real basic stuff, just that jab. That was as basic as it is, and that dictated the entire fight, and that was game over. That kid had no – when you got a good jab, it's tough to solve. It's a real tough riddle to solve.
Do you see the difference when you step in with the jab on occasion, what you could do?
Yeah. You never see those two step in with those jabs. They're always flick. It's always flick.
Yeah.
Get off me, get off me, get off me.
Did you see Pedraza stepping in?
He was stepping forward with that front foot. He throws a jab like you are supposed to throw a textbook jab.
All right. He was trying to make something happen with that jab, not play tag with that jab. And he was doing it from the southpaw stance as well as the orthodox stance. And also, too, he wasn't afraid to mix it up on the inside when the guy got close to him. He ripped the body shots and he let that kid know that if you want to come in the kitchen with me, you're going to have to deal with some shit coming back at you, too. You're not going to have your way with me.
He was.
And sometimes you got to do that. You got to get your respect in there.
He was throwing that shotgun jab at him all night, man. And it was a shotgun, too. I mean, he was stepping forward, putting some pop behind it. And, yeah, man, he looked good. He looked real good. And I think who's he – I don't know who he's fighting next. Is he fighting – who's he fighting next? Because this was I don't know.
An eliminator or something?
Yeah,
eliminator.
I can't remember who they're going to fight next. But.
Yeah, I don't know who he's going to get next. But
yeah,
he put himself in a good position. He needed this win, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, he absolutely.
And he's a much better fighter at 140 than he was at 135.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. All right. On the zone, Jeremias Ponce versus Lewis Ritson. Ponce wins by TKO in the 10th. The big controversy here was that the towel was thrown in during the 10th round by Ritson's corner. But the ref picked up the towel, threw it out, and the fight continued. He got stopped just a little bit later when he was knocked down a couple times. I didn't hear the ref's excuse for taking the towel out. But I think the fight kind of probably should have been stopped a little bit earlier than it was. That being said, what happens is, because I've heard this excuse before, because I've seen it happen before, and I was wondering why they did that. A lot of times it can be done for the referee has the – only the referee can stop the fight in certain jurisdictions and everything like that. Only the referee can stop the fight. They do this for gambling reasons. In a lot of ways, they do this for gambling reasons. This is the excuse that I heard, or this is what I heard a long time ago. Because if it's an over-under situation or the corner, you know, they can throw the towel in, the guy could be fine, right? They could throw, but he's not making the rounds. You know, they want to cut the rounds off, and then they stop it, and all of a sudden a bunch of people win money that they shouldn't have won. It's basically there when you say only the referee can stop the fight. It's basically there to protect the fighters. That's why it's there. Dave, what was your understanding of why he did pick up the towel?
Well, like I said, it's his discretion whether or not he wants to stop the fight or not. It's totally his call. And he thought that was an inappropriate time to stop the fight. So that's why he didn't stop the fight.
Oh.
It's totally his call. So at the time when the towel was thrown in, there wasn't really any exchanges going on at that particular time. They just didn't like how Richardson looked, like his legs or whatever. But you can make an argument that they could have stopped it at that particular time. Most referees, when they see the towel thrown in, if I was a referee and someone threw the towel in, I would stop the fight. Because that tells me that the corner doesn't want their fighter to continue.
And they know him better than I do.
I would show 100% what you just said there. That's what I would do. I would respect the corner's decision based off of that, yeah.
I don't like what they did. I don't like that the referee let it go after that. That doesn't make any sense, you know? So, you know, but hey, Ponce gets the win, and what are you going to say? On to MMA here, and the reason I'm bringing up MMA, because Clarissa Shields was fighting. She was fighting Brittany Elkin. Shields wins by TKO in the third round via punches. I don't want to spend too much time on this, but let me tell you this. She looked good. It was her first MMA fight. She was fighting a black belt, or a brown belt, excuse me, in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. And if you've ever wrestled with anybody with a brown belt or anything like that in Jiu-Jitsu, it's not easy, put it that way. It's a very, very difficult thing, man. Not something that you're going to be able to do for long if you don't have any experience in it. The thing that helped Clarissa is she has a lot of strength. She got – I tell you what, Beeb, that girl took her down at will. She was able to mount her with no problem, put the mount on Clarissa Shields. No problem at all. She was fine. But I tell you what, Clarissa Shields is so strong. And she was able to minimize the damage. She did a great job minimizing the damage while she was down there. And, yeah, man, I mean, I thought she looked good. She got caught in an arm bar. She was able to muscle her way out of it. I thought she looked good. I thought she did what she had to do. Now, does that mean I think she can? No. She won the fight. She showed a lot of heart, man, a lot of heart. Because she was getting beat. She was down all two. She was down those two rounds going into the third. She's got a lot of heart. She needs a lot of work. Don't get me wrong. She's going to need a lot of work. I don't know who the matchmaker was that put her in there with a brown belt, you know, and not a stand-up fighter, but whatever. Hey, it is what it is. It's not going to be easy. So, yeah, man, I thought she did pretty well. What were your thoughts on it?
What I did notice, and obviously I'm not a connoisseur in MMA, but I did notice that Clarissa Shields' lower body strength really paid dividends for her in this fight.
She is strong, man.
Because she was able to push off the mat. She did some good takedown defense, too. She stuffed this young lady a few times.
She did.
And, I think the one advantage that she had was, as you said, this woman was mostly a jiu-jitsu wrestler type. She wasn't great with striking.
No.
So I think people were saying, oh, well, when she had Clarissa Shields mounted like that, why didn't she throw punches? Some people said they thought it was fixed, whatever. And I'm just saying to myself, the girl's really not a striker. And plus, Clarissa Shields was throwing, no matter where Clarissa Shields was, what position she was in, she was always throwing punches. You know, she was just very aggressive, even when she was, had her back to the mat. She was still fighting. She was pushing up with her hips. So, you know, you could tell she was stronger than this girl just by, you know, by watching how she was thrusting and pushing with her hips. And when she was on top of this girl, the girl could not do anything. She could not push her off, but she couldn't change positions.
No.
She couldn't, you know, so it is what it is.
Yeah. As far as the fight being fixed, because I've seen this a couple different places too, and I know you had mentioned it beforehand. Listen, man, how was it fixed? What in there was fixed? She had her in that arm bar. Number one, do you know how tough it is to get an arm bar without a gi on? Do you know how tough it is to get an arm bar with a gi on?
Yeah, you know, you know, I mean, you know jiu-jitsu. You practice jiu-jitsu, correct?
It's difficult.
So you know.
Yeah, it's difficult, man. I mean, even when you got it, you know, in order for it to work, you can't just pull the arm and then thrust up. You know, in order for it to work, your arm has to be pointed a certain direction. It's it's difficult, you know, and not all the time it has been, but in order to really land it, it's not easy, put it that way.
What I noticed is Clarissa Shields obviously was a much, much better striker, and she looks even more dangerous with the smaller gloves. Like, her hands were fast.
Her hands, she was fast, and she was hitting hard.
She was hitting hard with them small gloves. You could tell she liked them small gloves. One thing I learned about watching Clarissa Shields in MMA is I would never want to fight this girl in the street. She'd kick the fuck out of me.
Right.
But also, she is very strong.
That's what I think gets overlooked.
Incredibly strong woman.
I think
incredibly
that's what really gets overlooked is how strong she is and how strong these athletes are in general. You know,
and
how strong
stamina.
Athletes are. I mean,
her stamina is totally underrated. She was like not really – she was going full throttle that whole fight. She didn't look tired at all.
No. And I tell you what, it's – listen, man, when you got somebody on top of you and like completely mounted like that, and they're trying to hit you, they're trying to choke you, everything like that, you know, it's not easy to keep calm in those situations. But she kept calm, and that's how she's able to keep that stamina going. Because if you get excited, you know, especially if somebody gets you in a hold, and you start getting excited, and you're, you know, you start breathing heavier and everything like that, so you got to, it's just like in boxing, when somebody's throwing, you know, shots at your head, you got to stay calm, you know. And she did, man. She impressed me. She looked very good, man. Again, does this mean she can move up? And no, I mean, for her first fight out, fighting the caliber of person she did, I thought she looked great, man. She definitely needs work. I get it. She needs groundwork. She doesn't need any stand-up work. She needs groundwork. But I thought she did well, man. Anybody hating on that performance, you can't hate on that performance.
Another thing I don't like, too, is when you see a boxer try to transition into MMA and they're in a boxing stance where they have that lead foot out front. They could get leg kicked.
Taken down. You can get leg kicked. You get taken down. It's a bad style, especially for wrestling. You can single leg somebody real quick like that.
Yeah, you saw what Couture did to James Toney.
He
single legged him and got him right down.
Well, and once he was on the ground, he had no idea what he was doing. He had no clue.
That was atrocious, that James Toney fight.
Well, and I tell you what, and against a guy like Couture, right? He gets you down. I don't care how long, you know, if you studied for 6 weeks or whatever, this is an Olympic guy. You ain't beating that guy.
When I seen James Toney come out, like, in a Philly show like that, I'm like, dude, does he even know what he got himself into here, bro?
No, he doesn't. he doesn't. Because, I mean, it was a single leg pick, like an ankle pick that took him down. It wasn't even like a single leg. Like a you know, like your quintessential takedown. It was an ankle pick that took him down.
And Randy Couture is a phenomenal wrestler.
And you can't even imagine how strong that guy is.
Yeah, he's a Marine and everything, bro.
I mean, this guy is just crazy. He's got to be crazy strong from wrestling all those years.
James Toney,
different strength.
Was disrespected the sport of MMA by not even trying to.
He was there for a payday. He was there for a payday is all
he
was.
He didn't even try to prepare for that fight.
No. He was there for a payday.
It was a shame the way he approached that fight.
It really was.
He was very heavy. He was very overweight. He didn't even look like he trained.
Awful. Just awful. All right. Let's go to the phones here. I think this is Ringside Robert. 530. You're live.
Good evening, guys, on a Monday. Eric, I hope you had a good trip.
I did.
Okay, good. Joe, you're always on point. What can I tell you? You know, they're talking about matching up Shakur Stevenson with Jamel Herring and Oscar Valdez. I can tell you right now, unless some serious work is done in the gym, he's going to lose both of those fights. Because
he's going to beat Jamel Herring.
Huh?
He's going to beat Jamel Herring.
Eric, I disagree. I disagree. I'm sorry.
That kid can fight, man.
Semper Fi all the way, man.
That's him, Robbie.
He couldn't deal with
since you got DAZN, man, your knowledge has gone up, man.
Well, I'm going to talk about that DAZN card here in a minute because I thought that was a disgusting disgusting display by that referee. When the towel is thrown in, you stop the fight.
Guy's got a
period.
Family. That's not the way it goes.
But seriously, They've got to do some serious work with that kid. I hate to say, I don't normally get bored during fights, but Saturday night during that Stevenson fight, I found myself totally bored.
Did you and your mom like get the Jiffy Pop and throw it in the microwave when that fight was going on, man? That's how boring it was. Did you do that?
Yeah. Matter of fact, I used that fight to warm up pizza, man. We ordered pizza, and so I warmed up some more pizza.
Really?
And had that. But
that's vegetable or pepperoni?
I got all meat, brother.
There you go.
He likes
some meat. Need some protein. You need some protein on that frame.
Seriously, I don't know what they're going to have to do, but he is not going to be successful if he steps up and fights guys like Jamel Herring and Oscar Valdez. Can you, Oscar Valdez? You know what he did against Miguel Burchell. Can you imagine what he's going to do against a guy like Stevenson? Good Lord.
Tell him, Robbie. Tell him. You don't know.
Yeah. No, it's bad.
You know,
and look,
I'll tell
Eric,
you what, I would pie bet that fight.
I would buy a bakery of pies for that fight. That's how confident I am.
I would tell you right now.
You could take the whole pie rack and dump it on top of me, man. If I was that. How's that?
I'm telling you what, I would pie bet. I'll pie bet that.
There's no way Stevenson's beating either one of those guys.
No way.
Not playing a game.
Herring.
You ain't gonna be able to play a game of tag with either one of those guys, bro.
No.
I'm telling you, he's gonna beat Herring.
Because
he's marking Herring.
Isn't Herring what 5'10", 5'11", in that division?
5'10", man. 5'10", 73-inch reach.
What is how tall he has to do with it?
How in the world is he going to reach?
Forget about
it. You know?
It's
no
lethal.
Way.
It's lethal.
It's lethal.
Come on, son.
He's a Marine.
Now, the Valdez fight, I got questions about. I don't know. I mean, that's a tough, tough fight for anybody.
Yeah, the only question I have is whether Shakur Stevens is going to finish the fight on his feet.
Oh.
From Brick City, do you realize people in Brick City do not throw punches like that, man?
No.
I know guys who are 10, 11 years old on the block making street exchanges. You cross them the wrong way, you're getting dropped, baby. They'll sucker you in a second.
You know, 10, 11
okay,
years old?
Okay,
matter with you?
Another
Why
used question.
To go down that block, man, driving the Beefmobile down that block.
The Beefmobile.
They're so official down on that block. They got people 10, 11 years old on the block.
You?
On the block throwing haymakers.
What's the matter with you, son?
They raise them young out there. They raise them young down there, baby.
Brick City, son. Brick
City another
Newark.
Question now. I know this Saturday is Super Saturday, but I heard one of the fights got canceled. Like the zone card. Did it get canceled?
What?
What are you talking about? Did the Jaime Munguia fight get canceled? That's what I heard.
I don't believe so. No, I don't believe so. Let me double check it. I don't believe so. His guy pulled out. That dude pulled out.
They're trying
okay.
to get him
Zaleski
a replacement.
Pulled out. I think they got him a replacement. But hang on. Let me just double
okay.
check. See, here's Robbie messing with the show again. He's not
well,
fast checking. It says Jaime Munguia versus the dreaded TBA. So it looks like that fight's going TBA. It
okay.
looks like
he
that card's direct. Going on. And I read somewhere that they got somebody for him.
Okay.
So I think he's just got to pass his physical or whatever, and then I don't know. Call
I'm
him to work that
to,
day.
I'm
I don't
trying
know.
To figure out my schedule for Super
just
Saturday.
Trying to get him
you
off
know?
Work so he can fight on Saturday.
You know.
Yeah, they're They went down to the YMCA, man. trying to see if anyone got the weekend off.
You look pretty athletic. Why don't you how much you weigh?
So come here for a second. Can you take this guy's blood pressure real quick?
But that's the second time Zaleski's pulled out of that fight. I don't think he'll get another opportunity at him.
Yeah,
but,
I don't think he wants that fight.
Furious. No, you don't want that fight, bro. And he didn't even give a reason for it. G Funky's in the chat. He said, "As I see the latest from AB, AB is our train wreck of the week this week."
That video's already up on X Videos right now, baby.
Hey, that's,
did you watch
that's
it?
Why it's called. That's why it's called the Adrian Broner train wreck of the week, man. You know.
Did you see it, Robert? Did you see the video?
No, not yet. No, I have not, but I heard about it.
Robbie won't watch it. He's not allowed to watch that stuff.
Robbie only makes the videos. He only makes videos. He doesn't watch his own work. You know,
that's not a lot at the Herrick household.
They got
parental controls on the internet over there. He can't figure them out.
He said he can't figure them out. So he can't watch that shit over there.
Joe, I gave you compliments, and here you are attacking me again. Shame on you.
That's how BB is, Robert. That's how BB is. You know that's how he is, man.
I'm saying you got morals. I'm saying you got morals, and you're insulting me.
You know that's how BB is. He's a big turncoat, you know? He's two-faced. Yeah. What are you going to do?
Anyway, guys, no, I wanted to ask about that because I'm trying to figure out what I'm going to watch for Super Saturday. There's a lot going on Saturday.
Are you going to buy the Teofimo fight?
The problem is DirecTV is advertising the other card, the Julio Cesar Chavez Jr. card and all that. There, I haven't seen an advertisement for Teofimo yet.
I can't buy that Chavez fight either, man.
I don't know if DirecTV is going to have the Teofimo fight.
Did you see the Chavez, the Chavez and Hector Camacho? You know, like Chavez Sr.'s fighting on that card, too. He's like an exhibition with Hector Camacho Jr.
Yeah.
Let's pay to see that. But did you see them? I guess Camacho pushed him at the press conference or whatever. I'm like, stop it.
That's the only advertisement, Eric, I've seen on DirecTV. I have not seen an advertisement for Teofimo.
I can't buy two pay-per-views on the same day, bro.
I don't know how in the world they're going to get away with this, because you don't normally see two pay-per-views on the
how
same day.
How stupid is that? What is Trilla doing, actually? Like, how dumb are they?
I don't know, but this is a bad time to put a fight on, I tell you that. That was a bad move.
Because it looks like the other pay-per-view got ahead of them and got the cable and satellite people to take their pay-per-view, and I haven't seen an advertisement for the Triller.
Yeah.
You know what's something? He's right. He's right, because the thing is this. I have not seen one advertisement for that Teofimo Lopez fight. He's right. Not one. Even sometimes they like Showtime will put ads on YouTube and stuff on the videos.
Yeah,
they haven't done anything. These guys, zero.
Are they marketing the fight fans though? Because isn't there going to be like a concert or whatever on that one? Isn't like J-Lo supposed to be on it?
And that's stupid too, bro. Yeah. I don't want concerts. Love J-Lo, but I don't want to see her at boxing match singing, bro.
She's single now.
No, thank you. No.
I'm just thinking. I know she's single, and you're single.
No, she's been dating Ben Affleck again.
Well, yeah, clearly she likes Boston guys.
Hey, she left Alex
Rodriguez.
Yeah, but
I'm kind of talking to Halle Berry. I'm talking
Affleck.
To Halle Berry right now.
You're talking to Halle Berry's poster in your room?
We're chatting right now on Instagram right now. We're on Snapchat.
You're chatting
we're
with
Snapchat.
Some 300-pound dude in his basement named Bruno is what you're chatting with.
That's false.
Telling me Halle Berry.
I always try to throw shade on the Beast game. Can't respect the Beavs game, baby. Beavs game's too sharp. We're on Snapchat, her and I.
Oh, my goodness. All right, Robert, we're going to get going here.
Okay.
Let's talk about this big card coming up on Saturday.
Stop watching the pornos, Robbie. Stop watching the pornos.
Yeah, get off X videos, Robert.
Get it off it.
All right, let's talk about the 19th. Coming up here, June 19th, Super Saturday. This is from top to bottom the biggest day in boxing this year, no question. June 19th on ESPN and ESPN Plus, Nayoa Inoue versus Michael Dos Marinas, 12 rounds for Inoue's IBF and WBA bantamweight titles. Now, Dos Marinas is a mandatory challenger. I don't really care for the fight, but I like seeing Inoue, obviously. But as far as competitive, I don't think it's going to be that competitive, but, you know, it's anyway, so you got to watch it. On the undercard here, Michaela Mayer versus Erica Farias, 10 rounds from Mayer's WBO Women's Junior Lightweight title. Adam Lopez versus Isaac Dogbe, 10-round featherweights, and that's on ESPN. Now, Miami, June 19th on Triller, pay-per-view. Teofimo Lopez versus George Gambosos Jr., 12 rounds for Lopez's WBO, WBA, IBF lightweight titles. Charles Conwell on the undercard versus Mark DeLuca, 10 rounds junior middleweights. Franchon Cruz Bizern versus Ellen Ceteros, 10 rounds for Bizern's WBC and WBO women's middleweight titles, and Ceteros WBA and IBF. So it's a big unification fight. Andy Vences versus Joan O'Carroll, 10 rounds junior lightweights. Michael Hunter versus Mike Wilson. Willie Monroe Jr. versus Juan De Angel, 10 rounds middleweights. So there you go, man. There you go. That's the Triller card. I think just the top three will be on the Triller pay-per-view, but I don't know. Don't know. Again, they haven't done much of promotion. They paid $6 million for that fight, by the way. $6 million.
Yeah. I got to ask your opinion on this. So yes. I was talking to D-Style about this Kamposis fight. He thinks it's going to be more competitive than people think. I think Kamposis is getting knocked out in four rounds. Am I being a little overzealous here?
I think it's going to be more difficult to get the pie video from Chandler M than Teofimo is going to have in this fight. Teofimo is going to dog walk Kamposis.
I think he's going to
do it easy. He's going to do it easy, and Chandler M. Man, B, the video we got to get from Chandler M now with him smashing a pie on his face because he made a stupid decision. Dude, sometimes you do it. And I don't know if he was, like, you know, on alcohol when he made the decision to pie bet me this fight. I don't know. But there's no going back now. It's all over. It's time to kiss the baby, son. It's over.
Yeah, I just don't see this fight being even remotely competitive. I'm sorry. I just don't.
Not even a little bit. Not even a little bit.
A little bit.
He did an interview on ESPN where he said he's going to make Teofimo look really silly. Man, stop it. He's going to get murked in that fight. It's not even close, son.
I don't think Kamposis is going to make it out of the fourth round, bro.
No. He gets stopped inside of six. Inside of six rounds, that fight's over. He doesn't have – Teofimo is too explosive. He's too strong. He's got – come on, man. He's a better boxer. What else do we need, man? Am I buying Charlo Montiel? Probably not. I don't know. I'd have to see what I got to look at the rest of
that. Is that on pay-per-view too?
I believe it. I thought it was on Showtime. Or is
Come
it?
Come on, bro. Are they ridiculous?
I think it is on pay. You know what? That's the one that's on pay-per-view, I believe.
No. That's on Showtime too, because remember that was part of the Showtime schedule.
Okay. Well, who was the other Charlo's on pay-per-view then?
Yeah, but next week is the Tank pay-per-view, the 26th, right?
No, you're right, because that's on Saturday. Title fight, Showtime. So also on Showtime, Jamal Charlo versus Juan Montiel.
That was part of the Showtime.
It's part of the Showtime.
That was part of their Showtime schedule. That was like, remember I was saying that Showtime schedule is okay because there was a lot of fights, and that was one of the fights that obviously I did not like.
He says no Charlo's PPV. No, son, it's not. It's not a pay-per-view. This Charlo is not on pay-per-view. It's on Showtime. I'm looking at it right now.
Yeah.
This is why I do the show when you're in the audience. See that?
Whoa!
All right. So that one's going to be on Showtime. June 19th from Jalisco, Mexico on pay-per-view. Julio Cesar Chavez Jr. versus Anderson Silva, 10 rounds cruiserweights. That's the pay-per-view. Go figure that one out. Julio Cesar Chavez Sr. in an exhibition. Six rounds against Hector Camacho Jr., middleweights. Omar Chavez versus Ramon Alvarez. Listen, out of all the fights on that entire card, I love Ramon Alvarez. He's one of my favorite fighters of all time because he just puts it out there. Whether he wins or loses, he always brings it.
That's right.
Canelo's little brother gets zero respect. I love him, man. He's the greatest. But anyway, Omar Chavez versus Ramon Alvarez, I think that's a really good fight. Now, would I buy the pay-per-view? No. But no, it's going to be, no. June 19th, El Paso, Texas, D-Style stomping grounds here. On the zone, Jaime Munguia versus the dreaded TBA. They are looking for opponent. Selesky did pull out of there. No excuse was given. Beck With Beck the Bully versus Gabe Rosado, 12-round super middleweight, that's going to be a good fight.
Yeah.
That's a solid fight right there.
Rosado's kind of had a resurgence in his career a little bit now.
He really has. He really has, right?
He's put on some good performances.
Ibez Zamora versus Marlon Esparza, 10 rounds for Zamora's WBC women's flyweight title. In front of the show, Blair, the Flair Cards versus Brad Solomon, 10 rounds welterweights. Super Saturday is complete. What in the world? Sean Newton says that I hear Selesky is now going to fight Triple G. I thought Triple G was booked to fight already. I mean, I could be wrong. I don't know.
He's fighting Murata.
Yeah, I thought he was going to fight Murata next.
Yeah, he's fighting Murata.
But, hey, you know, what do I know?
That's what I heard. Unless they change it, I don't know.
I know Sean's up with Triple G and everything like that, so he knows. I mean, I don't know. We'll see.
I heard Triple G was fighting Murata, but we'll see.
Yeah. Now, the weekend after that, we got Lomachenko and Nakatani. That's going to be a really good fight. And then you got the pay-per-view, Mario Barrios versus Javante Davis. So we'll talk about more about those next week. So, yeah, man, some good stuff coming up. This is crazy, right? I mean, this is a crazy weekend for boxing, I'll tell you that. Crazy weekend for boxing. All right. Okay, before we go any further, we told you about a movie ticket giveaway. We're doing a promotion with the movie Nobody, all right, starring Bob Odenkirk. Let me get this down here. There we go. Let's see here. This Father's Day, hold on for the nonstop action of Nobody. From the writer of John Wick comes the fast-paced film certified fresh on Rotten Tomatoes. Now packed with never-before-seen bonus content, Nobody is yours to own now on digital and on 4K, Blu-ray, and DVD June 2nd. Now, if you want to preview the movie, if you want to watch the movie, what you guys can do is go to Twitter, at ringside73, and just leave me a Twitter message saying, hey, I want to see the movie. Make sure you follow me on Twitter because I can't DM you if you don't follow me. All right, so just do that, and I will send you copies. All right, I'll send you a copy code or whatever, and you go that way you can watch a movie for free.
Great movie.
It's an awesome
movie,
right? We've seen it. Action, me and B have seen it.
Action movie, yeah.
Top
very good movie.
Top to bottom, action-packed.
Yep, very good.
Love it. So, yeah, at ringside73 on Twitter, make sure you follow me and just say, hey, I want the movie. And that's all we need to do. How easy is that, Beeb? That's simple. We don't have to pay for anything. Boom, you're there. You're watching a movie tonight. That's it.
Easy peasy.
Chandler said, if I win the pie bet, I want the video, then I get live streamed in the talk. That wasn't the bet. You got to send us something. You're not going to win anyway, so it doesn't matter.
if he wins, we got to give it.
We'll get him in. Okay. This is a first. If you win, if Chandler M wins, we'll send you a link to the show. We'll stream you in. You can talk all you want, and I will do the pie. I always do the pie live anyway. That's how I roll. And I don't they smash it. They don't take any mercy on me, yeah. Beeb. I don't understand it, yeah. But they don't.
I almost knocked myself out. The pie, I slashed it.
I saw it. That was brutal. I wanted to tell you, man, don't do that again, man. That was brutal last time you did it.
I go overboard with the pies.
You do.
I smash them.
You do. It was ridiculous. I mean, I don't want table talks. Almost like I don't even want to see that again, you know, because that was.
I get those little table talks.
He just hits their nose with it, you know. He just hits his nose with it. That's it, man. All right, news and rumors here. We'll do a couple of these before we get back to the phones here. Our train wreck of the week, we're going to lead off here. Adrian Broner, surprise, surprise, a sex tape of Adrian Broner was leaked on Twitter and every other social media platform and is now available on OnlyFans by the woman who made the videotape.
Oh, my
God. Who made the video anyway. Beeb, I don't know how he gets himself in these situations. It's not good for him. It's not a good look. It's never a good look. They tagged his girlfriend on it, and she says, listen, I haven't been with him in a while, so I don't care what he does. So, you know, he's separated from her. I don't know where his kids are in all this. His kids are going to see this. You know, it's not even like he was, you know, pretending. Or, like, dude, your kids are going to see this. Doesn't he have, like, 5 or 6 kids?
More than that, bro.
They're going to see this. Why would you put this on? Why would you do this, man? That's just a bad move.
Do you think he knew that he was being filmed?
Of course he knew he was being filmed.
Really?
Yes, of course he did.
Because he's that crazy to probably not even pay attention.
He could care less.
Because he had his head down. He was really into what he was doing. So he wasn't really.
He was really into his work. Yeah, right.
Yeah, he seemed like he took pride in what he was doing.
I guess, man, it was nuts.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Adrian Broner, man, never disappoints us. Never disappoints
Ridiculous.
Us. Unreal.
Ridiculous. Insane.
Mayweather and Paul. Mayweather, Logan Paul does 1 million buys, according to Showtime and various reports. To me, this kind of falls short of what they were thinking. Not a bad number by any stretch, but I definitely expected a lot more. B, you expected a lot less.
I'm impressed with the numbers.
Good number.
Given the fact that there's so much piracy going on out there.
Yes. Yeah, it was a good number.
This could be around, they're saying over, so this could be like 1.2-ish. I don't know. I mean, I don't know the exact numbers, but.
It's not going to be over one. It's not going to be much over 1 million. Like, you're not going to go
okay.
to 1.5 or 2 million. You know what I mean?
You think they can go to 1.2 or 1.1?
No, because most of the people that, if you're going to stream it on your computer, most of the people that do that know how to stream it otherwise.
Because sometimes the numbers come in late.
Yeah.
They don't count them all. But most of the stuff is digital now, so I think it's easier to count the digital more so than the cable company stuff.
Yeah.
Right? So I was impressed when I heard that it did a million because, like I said, everyone I talked to was streaming it, so the fact that I think a lot of Jake Paul fans purchased it, though, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think so, too. I think so, too.
And, you know, credit to Mayweather for picking this opponent because he knew what he was doing. He knew that this kid was popular, and he benefited off of that.
Javier Rodriguez says exactly 1 million. No, it wasn't exactly 1 million, you bonehead. It's around 1 million. When we say 1
over.
Million, it's
they said, they said over 1
yeah,
million, so it could have been –
1 million,
1 million
is some change, son. It's not like it's a
yeah.
– come on, son. Come
Again.
On. He said it sounds made up like the phone number. Son, if you're having trouble dialing, man, check your carrier, buddy. You know? Check your carrier, son. Maybe your phone got shut off. I don't know. What do I know about it? All I know is I got people on the line. That's all I know. All I know, Beeb. Come on. True statement by Centurion. Jake Paul is more serious about boxing than Broner. Yeah, I think so. I would say so. So there you go. All right, 773, you're live. And then again, maybe you're not. I can hear background. 773, anyone, going once. Done. All right, 773, there you go. All right. Centurion Sun is asking, do you think Mayweather cares more about money than his undefeated record? No. No, I don't. Because if he did, he would fight somebody that meant, you know, because he would make a lot more money with Errol Spence than he did with, Logan Paul. Do you believe that?
Yeah, I think he cares more about his undefeated record, possibly, at this point, yeah.
Yeah, because, I mean, he's not going to step in, because if he did, he wouldn't step in. I think that was Kevin from Chicago. He wouldn't step in with a Logan Paul if he wasn't worried about his record.
Well, the reason why he cares more about his undefeated record, because he makes money telling people that he was undefeated, so that's part of his way of making money. That's his image, so.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. If he wasn't undefeated,
that's his marketing. That's his whole marketing thing.
Yeah. If he wasn't undefeated, I think his earning potential would go down.
Sure. Oh, absolutely.
So that's why he needed an undefeated record.
Yeah. Absolutely. This one I found interesting. Teofimo Lopez signed with Top Rank. Re-signed. It was announced this weekend that Lopez is re-signed with Top Rank. I think it's probably a good move for him, man. Most of the guys he needs to fight are in Top Rank, like around his division and everything. When he moves up to welterweight, that's a different story, though. The one thing this tells me is that I would favor Teofimo getting the Josh Taylor fight over Terrence Crawford. Taylor was going back and forth. They were talking about Taylor fighting either one of those guys. I think that, you know, Crawford, I think Crawford is gone when his contract's up. If Crawford stays with Top Rank, he just gets what he gets. I mean, he gets what he deserves. You know what I mean? Yeah, Boxing with Sean says Lopez versus Loma 2. That's what they were talking about, a pay-per-view. They were talking about that would be a pay-per-view for him. I'm not really interested to see that fight again. Are you?
I wouldn't mind it. I don't think Lomachenko is going to beat Nakatani, though. A lot of people think he is. I'm curious to see. Oh, Sean probably thinks that Sean likes Lomachenko a lot, so he's probably thinking Lomachenko will beat Nakatani.
Sean, hey, Sean, do you want to see that fight again? Do you? I mean, do you think there's like any unanswered questions from the first fight?
He does. He wants to see it badly. He told.
Really?
He's a big Lomachenko fan.
I am too, but just styles in this thing, man. The styles, it ain't the right style for him. He's too big.
Yeah.
Too big for him.
I wouldn't mind seeing it again.
What can Lomachenko do differently? I mean, is there really anything he can do differently?
I think the size will be a problem for him. I think the size will be a problem for him.
It was in the first fight. I'll tell you what the other problem was. The power was the problem for him because he didn't want to get hit. I think he felt a couple of those shots, and I think he didn't want to get hit. Sean says Loma will beat Nakatani. Yeah, I believe so, too. And he says if Loma beats Nakatani, you won't want to see it? No, because I've already seen it. You know what I mean?
I wouldn't mind it.
Do you see a scenario again? I don't see any scenario. And the reason I don't want to see it because I don't see any scenario where Lomachenko beats this guy.
I don't think he's going to beat Nakatani.
But if he does, do you see any scenario where he beats Lopez? I don't see any scenario.
I don't. I'm very high on Lopez. I think Lopez is the goods.
I do too. And I don't think so. I think Loma ought to fight try to make a fight with Devin Haney or something. Those guys. I mean, this guy is he's not right. He's all wrong for him. He's all wrong for Loma. He really is. And I love Loma. I really do. I picked him in the first fight. So
I'm shocked that Loma did not have a rematch clause. I'm shocked.
Yeah, I think they had a lot of stock in Loma in that fight. And when you talk to his dad, Tio's dad, man, they had a lot of stock in Loma in that fight. They weren't real happy.
They didn't think that that Loma was going to lose that fight. Nobody did.
No. You had picked him. You had picked him long before anybody else, and you had ridden that horse all the way to the finish. I mean, and you kept saying it. I didn't know who was going to win. You know, I ended up picking Loma, but I didn't know who was going to win, you know. But you were so confident.
Yeah, I was very confident.
Yeah.
I was very confident.
I mean, you had it scouted perfectly. You had it scouted perfectly.
I was pretty confident in Donaire beating Ubali, too, and I'm mad at myself because I didn't put any money down on that.
Man, I'll tell you what, I did not see that one coming. I did not see that coming.
Yeah. Me and Chikal were talking about that one.
Yeah, Chikal had that one, too, man. That was crazy.
Yeah, I had that one, too. I agreed with him on that one.
Alexander Povetkin retires from boxing. I'll tell you what, it was the right time for him, I think, especially after his last fight. I think it was the right time for him. He was a gold medalist in the 2004 Olympics, which seems like a lifetime ago. I think it was probably the right move for him. I mean, he's fought everybody. He never, he's won, like, interim titles and stuff, like regular titles, but he's never won the big one. Listen,
I think he was a... Wasn't he the WBA champion before?
He was a WBA regular champion, I believe.
Regular? Okay, yeah, he never had the world one.
If you win the WBA regular title, to me, you're the champ. I mean, if you give that to me, then I'm the champ. You know, he felt the same way. Go ahead.
Let me ask you this question, because Leonard Ellerbe is, like, throwing shade on him because he popped positive for the PED test. Do you think that when people remember Alexander Povetkin, do you think they're going to – that's going to stand out more than all the fights that he fought, all the tough fighters he fought? Or do you think that PED test should overshadow what he did in his career? I think the guy had a solid career.
He had a solid career. No, and I think people forget about it. I really do. Cause I mean, I don't ever think about it. When I think about Povetkin, I honestly don't ever think about it. Now, if Povetkin won, if Povetkin won the heavyweight title, you know, that's a different animal. If he beat Klitschko or he beat one of the big ones, that's a big, you know, that's a bigger issue then. Just like with Barry Bonds and the whole steroid scandal with him and McGuire and everything, and they broke the records and, you know, the home run records. Yeah, it'll, you know, boxing with Sean said it has to be mentioned. It will be. I'm sure it will be. But, you know, his – do you think he gets in the Hall of Fame? I don't think he gets in the Hall of Fame.
I don't think he's done enough to get in the Hall of Fame.
No, so what does it matter? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know that he even gets mentioned because – he's not going to be that noteworthy of a fighter in the future, you know. He's had a good career. I mean, you could definitely hang your hat on it. I would love his career, you know what I mean? Anybody would love his career.
Yep.
Why not? Chakal's in the chat. He said, I told you beat Pedraza and Ponce. Chakal killing everybody.
I already shouted you out, bro. I give you
the
props when you did.
Give him the props, man.
I know you did, bro. I know you did.
Chakal's money lately, man. I don't know what.
I wasn't sure about the Pedraza fight, but I did not see the Ponce victory at all. Not at all. The Pedraza fight, I just didn't really know because I didn't know much about the Rodriguez kid, but I did not think Ponce was going to beat Ritz. No way.
No.
No way.
He put it on Ritz. He really
dismantled him. So shout out to Chakal for two solid picks, bro.
He's hot as a pistol lately. He really is hot as a pistol when it comes to betting on these stuff, man.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't know too much about Pedraza's opponent. That's why.
They were using him as a stepping stone. They were using Pedraza as a stepping stone.
Yeah, we're going to have our meeting on Wednesday. No doubt about that, Chakal. We got to go over some stuff today. we're gonna have to use the prop bets this week because
a lot of fights on the docket, man.
Yeah, the favorites are too heavily
too wide,
right?
Too wide.
I don't think we're gonna have any upsets this week, but yeah, we gotta play some knockout propositions this week or take some unders.
You taking Camacho Jr. to beat Chavez?
Oh God. Yeah.
Oh my goodness. And last but not least, Mayweather's home was burglarized. Floyd Mayweather's offered a $100,000 reward, I guess, to information leading to arrest or whatever for these guys. Let me tell you what. How about not showing off your house in every Twitter video you have or every Instagram video? How about not showing where stuff is, you know, and giving us a dime tour of the house saying, hey, you know, this is where I keep all my shoes in this closet upstairs, you know. What do you expect? I mean, you sit here and you throw money around and you flaunt it in everybody's face and then you get robbed. Why don't you have a security team? Why don't you have a security system in your house? How did you get robbed?
I think it was an inside job, to be honest with you.
Of course. Yeah, it had to be, right?
Let me ask you this. Who gets robbed the most in the country? What people get robbed the most in the United States?
I mean, we do for paying for Floyd's fights.
Rich people, right?
Yeah, I would say
gets,
so, yeah. I mean, who's robbing
who
the poor, you know?
Who gets sued more than anybody else in the United States?
Got to be rich people.
Rich people, right? So normally rich people don't want you to know they're rich because they don't want you to come and try and take the money from them, right? So I think this guy didn't get the memo that, you know, you're not supposed to brag about what you got because people are going to try to take what you got. You're going to have people coming out of the woodwork, oh, he's my baby's daddy and shit like you're going to have family members coming after you. Like, he's been rich for a long time now.
How did you not know it was an inside job? Or how do you have all this stuff and not have a security system? You know?
Yeah.
That doesn't make any sense, Beeb.
Again, you know, I'm sure so many people are in that entourage. You don't know how many of them know the code to get into the house, right? You don't know that maybe somebody in the entourage is jealous of someone else in the entourage because they're getting more than they are. Nobody knows that when you have so many people around you like that, when you have all these girls you're taking on shopping sprees, buying them bags. And, you know, when you look at these videos, he's always got different people hanging around him and coming over his house. I don't think the guy has any real friends.
No. No.
Besides Leonard Ellerbe, but I don't, you know, that's kind of
Leonard Ellerbe, a yes man. I mean, he's not.
That's kind of a sketchy relationship too, right?
Yeah, right.
So who knows?
Yeah, I mean, I don't get it, man. How do you have all this money and then, you know, he has all these, you know, he's offered $100,000. You know, you got all this money. You're paying, you know, you're throwing all this money around buying cars and everything like that, and you don't have a security system in your house? Or you don't have guards? I mean, if you're that worried about it. I mean, he has bodyguards everywhere he goes.
You would think that there'd be cameras in the house.
Right?
I love the videos, though. Yeah. You know, here we are. Here's my closet over here with the 100 pairs of shoes. Go upstairs. Here's my bag collection, all Fendi down here. In my closet, we're all Versace down here. Like, basically tell everyone where everything is. Here's the safe. You know?
Right.
It's like ridiculous. Like, I mean, it's just stupid.
It's crazy. It's insane, man.
Do you know that Jordan, when he did the Last Dance show?
Uh-huh.
You know, that wasn't his house he did the show in.
I heard that, yeah. He went to somebody else's house. He didn't want people knowing what it looked like.
He didn't want people knowing what the inside of his house looked like. See how smart Jordan is? He don't want people knowing shit about him. Right? Because he's been sued before. He doesn't want people knowing what he got, where he lives. He don't want it because he's not an idiot,
right?
Fucking.
But he's going up there showing off his cars, you know.
Stop hating, Beeb. You're just hating because he's rich. He's got more money than you.
Right.
I don't hate Michael Jordan.
Right.
I don't hate Shaquille O'Neal. I don't hate Bill Gates. I don't hate Jay-Z. They all got more money than me too. But guess what? You know what the difference is? They don't post videos on Instagram about where they live and where they keep their money and where their cars are and I got a house here, I got a house there. You don't think people pick up on that shit?
Right.
The guy's been robbed several times. This isn't the first time the guy's been robbed.
Sure. You know?
So stop.
And he's the one, you know, talking about legalized bank robbery and he gets robbed. Area code 901. 901, you're live.
What's going on? It's your boy H Money, Mr. DeZone. Well, good. How's everybody doing?
H Money in the house. What's up, man?
What's up, H?
Good, man.
What do you think of the press conference this week? The press conference with Deontay Wilder this week. What do you think about that?
I can't wait. The press conference will be tomorrow. Tyson Fury, he will expose Deontay Wilder in front of the whole world tomorrow, man. Deontay Wilder is a liar. He lied about Mark Breland. He lied about the costume being too heavy. He said he never said it. And then Kevin Ioli released the audio. Deontay Wilder is a disgrace to boxing. And Tyson Fury is here to burst his bubble, man. You know what I mean? Tyson Fury dominated Deontay Wilder in the second fight. And I'm looking forward to Tyson Fury doing it again, man. Deontay Wilder, you know, I'm disappointed in him. Now he's using a race card, Eric. He's saying the reason Tyson Fury beat him is because of white privilege. So my question to Deontay Wilder, does
because JD of white
still have
privilege.
A job with you? Because, what was that?
What? Did he really say that?
Yes, he did say that recently on his interview with PBC Ray Flores. Diva, did you see it?
I saw it, yeah.
I remember that's what he said, though. He beat me because of white privilege. Stop it.
Tell him why that's hypocrisy, H. Tell him why that's hypocrisy, H. Tell him.
Yeah, because he's talking about white privilege, Eric. So my question for Deontay Wilder is, did you give Tyson Fury a rematch and took less money because of white privilege? Is that why you turned down more money to fight Anthony Joshua, the black fighter, it took less money to fight Tyson Fury, the white fighter, for white privilege? Is that the reason why? Deontay Wilder? Or, you know, does a JD still have a job because of white privilege? And you fired the black trainer, Mark Breland. I need answers from Deontay Wilder because he said it was the gloves, Eric. He said the gloves were loaded and JD's was responsible for checking those gloves. And Deontay Wilder said JD's was inexperienced. So you get rid of the black trainer, you kept the white trainer. Is that because of white privilege, Deontay Wilder? Deontay Wilder is a fraud, Beep. He's a fraud, and Tyson Fury is going to expose him tomorrow in front of the world for all the lies. I can't wait. You know, Deontay Wilder, you're going to say Tyson Fury is a cheater and all of that. He tested positive in 2016, but you still fought him. You still fought him in 2019, and you said that, you know, Tyson Fury was your brother. He was your brother, and you loved Tyson Fury. You were best friends with Fury until he whooped your ass, man. So Deontay Wilder is a liar, man. Shout out to everybody in the chat. Boxing with Sean, JC. Man, shout out to Robbie, who called in earlier, D-Style Boxing. And I'm looking forward to the big fights this weekend. You got Teofimo Lopez defending his title against George Kambosos on Triller. I got breaking news. Triller got a new, they got something called a fight pass, where if you pay $300, you get Triller for the whole year. And it's $29.99 for the month, guys. And we know DAZN, yeah, DAZN is $100 for the whole year. And you get to watch pound-for-pound champions like Canelo, Anthony Joshua, Virgil Ortiz, Triple G, Demetrius Andrade, Mikey Garcia. And, you know, and the Triller is $300. And, you know, it's YouTube fights. What do you guys think about that?
That's crazy. I'm not paying $300 for it.
Not good value for your money, right there.
For the year, though,
Eric. Not a good move.
It's for the year and $29.99 for the month.
That's crazy. Yeah, I'm looking at it right now. $300 annually. The Triller Fight Club, but you get Triller Fight Club, Triller Fest, and Special Veracruz and Big Three live events. Okay, so they're actually putting on like a team. That's still a lot of money. $30
a month.
Ace, you buying it?
I might do the month. I might do it for the month, but I do like the Big Three, to be honest.
Okay.
You know, Big Three basketball, and also you get, like, the versus,
right,
the rap battles and stuff. It's pretty good. It's entertaining, but I think DAZN is a better deal,
to
be honest.
Oh, he's got the rap battles?
We can
buy it
for
the rap battles.
Free. He's probably in those.
I may buy it for the rap battles. I like the rap battles.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the versus. You remember how, like, it was Gucci Mane and Young Jeezy, they had their versus thing? So that's what they got there. You know, so I think it's okay, man. We just got to see how it plays out. Also, this Saturday, you got Jermall Charlo versus Montiel. Jermall Charlo, some people consider him to be the best middleweight so far as far as the current champions. You got Demetrius Andrade, Jermall Charlo, and Triple G. Who do you guys think is the number one middleweight in your eyes, starting with you, Beef?
I'm going to say Jermall Charlo right now. I like Jermall Charlo.
I agree with you. I agree. What about you, Eric?
Yeah, I think you have to give it to Charlo as well. I really do. I mean, middleweight right now, he's the best guy.
Absolutely. Go ahead.
Did you hear they're trying to – did you watch that Charlo thing or that on Showtime or whatever about the fight?
Yes,
and him
access.
And his brother
really
apparently
good.
Are beefing or something like that? Yeah, I didn't know they were beefing like that.
Yeah. That's crazy, man. It's like they got a rivalry going on between the Charlo brothers. But I like what Jermall Charlo said. He said, I'm okay with being number two to Jermell. He said, I'm okay with Jermell shining. He said, because when he shine, I shine. So, I mean, I do like those Charlo brothers, man. Even their mom was talking about it. So it's a serious issue because their mom had to, you know, talk about the situation. So hopefully they can squash the little beef that they got with each other because Jermall Charlo said he missed when Jermell is right there with him. He missed when Jermell was with him. So, you know, I got a brother, and I know how it is, man. You know, also we got Jaime Munguia. Munguia returning back to the ring. He's fighting on DAZN and in a way on Top Rank. There's so many great fights this Saturday, man. I'm excited, man. Shout out to the Ringside Reporter. Hey, Tuesday, V, you know what it is? Tomorrow night, Tyson Fury. He's on Deontay Wilder's ass, man. Wilder is afraid, bro.
Fury!
He's afraid. He's going for a payday, Eric. Wilder is looking for his last payday. He doesn't care about winning. He just wants to cash out, man. And I guarantee you this will be his last payday, bro. Appreciate you guys. Shout out to the Ringside Reporter. Peace.
All right, man. H Money. Doing his thing. Good job, man. Did you see the Twitter stuff? I think the Haymanites posted it first, and I think after that, and then you know it's on his Instagram. But Malik Scott on his showed Malik Scott's Instagram. Did you see this at all?
I've seen some stuff on his Instagram.
He's got like naked chicks on there painting, and he's like messing with them and stuff.
I didn't see that. I seen some of the crazy shit he's been saying on his Instagram. I didn't see no videos about
it. Oh, I didn't see anything he's been saying. It was nuts, though. So Wilder said he never said the costume was too heavy.
I don't know what he's saying, man. Every other week, it's a different thing. I don't know what to say, bro. I don't want to keep criticizing the guy because it's getting embarrassing at this point. You know what I mean? Like what else can you say? Now they're saying he had coronavirus and stuff too. I don't know what.
It's just an endless list of excuses, you know.
I don't know what to say.
He was the better man. You know, I mean, he was a better man that night. That's all you got to say.
Yeah. I do think we'll see a better version of Deontay Wilder in this third fight, but it's still not going to be enough, in my opinion. I just don't think it's going to be enough.
What do you think he's going to do differently?
I'm going to be honest with you. I think he'll be healthier. I don't think he was 100%. That's not Tyson Fury's fault.
Right.
But I don't think – I think he was a little bit under the weather. He did not look 100% healthy. I knew his bicep was kind of messed up. I knew he had some bicep issues because his left shoulder was kind of swollen at the weigh-in. I went back and looked at it. My friend told me, hey, you know, right when the weigh-in was going on, he said, Beeb, look at his left shoulder. It looks kind of swollen. It looks bigger than the other one. But again, that's, you know, it is what it is. You took the fight. You had to deal with that stuff. But I think he'll be better physically. But I don't think he'll be that much better technically. I think he's got a very underrated jab. But here's the problem. The one problem that I see is Tyson Fury has him down pat. Every time he throws the right hand, even when it lands, Fury is rolling that shot. Yeah, go back and watch. He's rolling it. Every time he's throwing it, he knows when it's coming. Sort of like when Pacquiao and Marquez fought, how Marquez was starting to just really nail down Pacquiao's attack patterns. Fury knows Deontay Wilder's tendencies. And I don't think Wilder's going to be able to change those tendencies because he's been doing them for 40-something fights. So that's the problem. I think Fury has Wilder's style down pat. He knows when the right hand's coming. He knows how it's coming, and he knows how to roll it. That's the big problem. And he also knows that Wilder really can't fight on the inside, and he can't fight backing up. So he's just going to keep trying to close the – he's going to use his weight again. And he can also beat him on the outside. Fury can beat him on the outside with his jab. So – I think Wilder's going to have a lot of issues. I think he'll do better. I actually think the fight will go the distance, but I think Fury will win the fight like maybe 9-3, 8-4. That's how I see it going. I don't think he's going to stop him this time.
I don't know. I really don't know. I mean, he just kind of completely manhandled him last time.
He did.
I don't see much changing. He's won, what do we say, 3 out of the 20 rounds that they fought, he won 3 of them. Wilder's won 3 of them.
Yeah, 3 rounds. He's won three rounds.
Yeah. I mean, that's – listen, I don't
– It's hard to pick Wilder. My friend's picking Wilder, actually. I went out to eat with my friend on Saturday night. He's picking Wilder. He likes Wilder.
Yeah,
so
I mean, yeah. It's not a bad pick, but, you know, shout out to Lion Killer Podcast. Thank you so much for showing up. And before we round off one more time here, I want to tell you, you can get your copy of Nobody. Just text me, and we'll send you the movie codes. Not text me, but go on to Twitter at ringside73. Make sure you follow me so I can DM you the codes, and then we'll do that. So there you go. All right. And that'll do it for this edition of Ringside Reporter. As always, you can catch Joe Habib on Twitter at jhabib1 and find our YouTube channel at ringsidereporterlive.com. And you can find me, of course, on Twitter at ringside73. And we will see everyone next week.